Amen. Thank you guys for that special. I love seeing it when young folks are getting up and setting aside their fears and singing for the Lord and using the talents and gifts that they have. I'm so thankful to be here today and so thankful for Pastor Jeff and his wisdom and his ministry here. You know, I get the awesome blessing of being able to travel to many different churches across America and meet a lot of awesome preachers who've been in the ministry for decades. And preacher, I hope you don't think I was interrogating you at lunch, but I take advantage of the opportunity that I have to sit down with these guys and just ask questions because there's just so much wisdom there. And I want to tell you guys, you got a good pastor, and I've been blessed to spend the time that I have been with you, sir. We're going to be in the book of Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5. That's cool. I don't even have to ask you guys to stand with me. Pastor's like, you just tell them and they stand up. And we'll be reading a familiar passage here tonight. You know, one of the guys told me this morning, he said, hey, that lesson you gave, we just started a series on that. And I was like, oh, okay. So hopefully my message tonight isn't part of another series. I don't know. We'll see. Matthew chapter 5, and we'll be reading from verses 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that I can be in your house tonight. And Lord, I'm humbled to be able to preach your word. I pray that you would anoint me, that you would fill me, and that you would use me tonight. And Lord, would you please prepare the hearts and the ears of your people now to receive what you have for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. In a world full of spiritual darkness, light is essential. In a world growing colder toward God, our light must burn hotter. Jesus said here in the passage, ye are the light of the world. Let me tell you about a night I'll never forget as a police officer. I was on late night patrol. It was almost 2 a.m. and I was getting ready to clock out when all of a sudden the radio chatter began. Attention all units, attention all units. We have a pursuit coming through your city requesting backup. And so one of the most favorite things, by the way, that cops get to do is pursuits. That's a big part of why I wanted to be a cop, so I could drive fast. Anyway, so I heard pursuit. I'm like, yeah, let's go, all right? So the thing with pursuits is you've got to get approval to be in a pursuit because every department has a policy that dictates what they can pursue for. And our policy at the department that I worked with dictated that we could pursue someone for only two things. Number one, if they were suspected of DUI or DWI, you know, they were intoxicated or under the influence of some type of drug, or for a dangerous felony. What's a dangerous felony? Well, a dangerous felony is a crime that was committed that involved great violence or a weapon, knife, a gun. And so that's a dangerous felon. And so I knew that the only reason that we would get permission to jump in this pursuit was if it was one of the two things. And sure enough, my supervisor came over the radio and we were green light, let's go. And boy, that car was coming by right nearby where I was patrolling. And so I flipped on those lights and sirens and I floored it. And I started heading in the direction. I caught up to the car. It was one of these really fast cars. I think it was like a Chrysler 200, 300, something like that. But this guy, man, he was, you know, he had the ideal car for those country back roads. And I remember this about that night. It was very cold, and it was a very dark night. Kind of like a horror movie, right? Very cold, dark night. But we're going down these winding country roads, and I can remember going so fast in that patrol car that I could feel and hear my tires starting to skip so gradually across some of the roadway patches as I maneuvered the corners, trying not to lose this guy. And what this guy realized was, you know what? I can outrun some of these cops. But then they just radio over to the next county or the next city. And then more guys joined in the pursuit. So he decided that he was going to go dark. So he turned off all his lights. And so now he's driving in the dark. And, you know, I could still kind of see him, but hardly. And I could make out his car pull into this big old field. And so picture this big old wide open field, as dark as ever, but you could make out the silhouettes of trees and big old stacks of shipping containers piled up everywhere. And so I pulled into the field, and by that time he had already jumped out of his car and started running down the field. And I hopped out of my car too. And you know, cops, they got all these things on their tool belts. Can you guess what my most important tool was that night? My flashlight, yeah, that's right. So I like to carry a flashlight, and I like these lithium battery flashlights. They're really bright, you know, LED. And so, boy, I pull out my flashlight, and I turn that thing on. Did I just blind all you guys? Sorry. I like doing that. No, but I pulled out that flashlight, and it lit up the path. And boy, I took off, and I'm a fast guy, okay? Maybe not now, but I used to be. And I took off running. But as soon as I took off running and my light, I can remember, it just lit up that whole field in front of me. But then all of a sudden, it started to flicker. And I thought, oh no. And then it went out. There I stood in that dark, cold field. And I could feel it starting to set in. The uncertainty, the vulnerability. This guy was out here. Somewhere lurking, I don't know, behind a shipping container, behind one of the trees, maybe in the tree. I don't know. I don't know what his story was. Maybe he just got out of prison. He's like, I'm not going back under whatever the cost is. I don't know if he's armed with a knife or a gun, or if we're in Guyana, machete. All right. But he's armed with something. And boy, I could feel the fear starting to settle in. I'm in this darkness and I can't see. And then I remember. I've never been so happy in my life to see a set of red and blue lights coming my way. Y'all know what I'm talking about, you speeders in here, right? but I saw those lights come. I was like, praise the Lord, all right? Backup is on the way. And my partner, he jumped out of the car, and he pulled out his flashlight, and he lit up the way. And together, he and I, we searched that field, and we found that guy. And believe it or not, I had walked right past where that man was hiding. He had burrowed himself under one of those shipping containers that was just ever so slightly lifted off the ground, and he was just hiding under there. Now he could have gotten the upper hand on me. He could have taken me down, maybe wrestled me, got my own gun. I don't know. But I praise the Lord that that night someone had a light. Christians, I came here to tell you, this world is dark. Hell is real. And someone out there is lost in the darkness, and you might be the light that leads them to life. Jesus says here, ye are the light of the world. He didn't say try to be the light. He said you are the light. Your identity isn't in your job. It's not in your background. It's not in your past. It's in Jesus Christ. And that identity says that ye are the light of the world. But friend, listen to me. If you've never been saved, you're in darkness. Jesus said in his word, in John chapter 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So you see, when you follow Jesus, when you make him your Savior, he, the ultimate light, now comes and indwells you. His Holy Spirit does. And now you are the light because you have the light. But if you've never made that decision, friends, you are so much like I was that dark night out there in the cold, lost on a road that leads to inevitable destruction. And speaking in terms of life, a road that leads to death and hell. Here's how you can receive that light. Number one, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. You got to realize that. No one's perfect. We've all sinned, and we've all inherited the sinful nature of Adam. Number two, John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus paid the ultimate price. He was the ultimate sacrifice. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Mark 1:15 tells us, repent ye and believe the gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And finally, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've done that, my friends, you are the light. And if you haven't done that, do not waste another minute. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Jesus said in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Folks, Christianity is not a secret society. We have a job to do. We ought to be shining the light. And you know, Christians, I want to tell you right now, you know, this is your missions month. And missions is all about taking the light of the gospel out there to a lost and dying world. But you have that same job to do right here in your neighborhood. Right here in your own backyard. You guys have all heard it. I'm sure all the missionaries that come through here preach it. But boy, when we think of it as being the light to someone who is lost in the darkness, the world is watching. I remember when I was on the SWAT, we would train every Monday. And building clearing was something we did every Monday. And so what we would do is we would, you know, simulate different scenarios. And we had this kill house, like basically a house that we used to run through with our gun. And because you got to be able to coordinate. And a lot of times we would turn off the lights. And we had lights on the front of our rifles. But you didn't want to use that light all the time. You wanted to use it very sparingly. Because if you're in a dark house, and you the minute you turn on that light, you give away your position. And so if someone's in there and they want to get you, they're just going to aim for the light. They're probably going to hit you, right? My point is, light stands out in darkness. It's easy to be seen. Sometimes we try not to be seen. Man, I remember when I was a teenager and I was struggling with my own personal convictions. And my dad was the preacher. And I was going to a public school, and I didn't want people knowing that my dad was the preacher and I was the preacher's kid. I didn't want people knowing that I was a Christian and I was supposed to be walking and talking a certain way, because I just wanted to blend in. I just wanted to fit in. But we have a job to do, Christians, and we ought to be shining. And you say, well, I don't want to stick out. We're called to stick out. We're called to stand out. We're called to bear our cross and follow Jesus Christ. And sometimes it's going to be hard. Not every door you go out there and knock on is going to be answered with a smiling face and someone who wants to hear what you got to say. Not every person that you witness to, even though you're doing it out of love, you care for them, and you want to show them the light, the way, the truth, Jesus Christ, doesn't mean that they're going to see it and accept it. I remember one time I got a call to go and talk to a lady. She was having supposedly domestic issues. And so I go there and I'm listening, getting all the information, trying to figure out whether a crime was committed. She tells me, oh, my husband and I, you know, he's never hit me or anything. It's just a lot of emotional abuse. And so I said, okay, you know, I listened and now my job is to, you know, give her resources. No crime has been committed. And so I'm giving her these pamphlets and brochures and so on and so forth. But I wanted to give her one of the best things that I could. And that is pointing her to the Word of God. This book has all the answers to life's problems. And so I did. I tried to tactfully open the doorway. I asked her, ma'am, do you go to church? Yes, I do. Okay, that's great. So then you probably have a Bible. Do you have a Bible? Yes, I do. Ma'am, I want to tell you this Bible here. If you would turn to this passage, it will help you. And if you would call out and pray to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will help you. Man, she listened, she shook her head, and she seemed like I gave her something good, and she was happy, and she was satisfied. If there's anything else I can do for you, please call us. All right. I left the next day. Hey, Alvin, you gotta go into the chief's office. Chief wants to talk to you. Chief wants to talk to me. I know I'm not getting a promotion. Alvin, listen, you know, we love having you on our team, and you're a good guy, but you can't be preaching to people. Alvin, we got a complaint, man. You're preaching, you know, and like I said, you know, we know you. You go to church and everything, and my nickname was St. Michael. I didn't really like it, but they'd always ask me to pray before we went out on a raid and kick people's doors in. So they knew that I was a Christian. I stood out as a light. My point is, though, I wasn't rewarded for doing it every time. I got in trouble for that, and it was a memo. And he said, next time we're going to have to take, you know, the next level of disciplinary actions, whatever that was. I don't know. But I walked out of that office saying, praise the Lord, man. I got a memo for pointing someone to their Bible. I mean, that's some reward. That's some treasures in heaven, folks. My job, first and foremost, is more than just saving physical lives through a simple action. My job is to point people to the Savior who will give them eternal life. And if that means me getting in trouble, if that means someone not liking what I have to say, then so be it. I have done my part. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3:2, ye are our epistles written on our hearts, known and read of all men. Folks, I want you to realize something. If you're going to go out there and be a witness for Jesus Christ, you got to make sure that your testimony, that your life, that your walk reflects Jesus Christ. Because like the Apostle Paul is saying here, the first thing that they're going to read is you. It's your life. You can't expect to go out there and to tell people about Jesus Christ when you walk around looking depressed all the time. People don't want that. They don't want that. Hey, you can't go around and tell people, hey, you know, why don't you come out to church here and join me? And they look at you like, man, you're always the one cracking the filthiest jokes. We don't want that. We already got that. Our job is to stand out as the light of Jesus Christ. And it starts from living a life that reflects that life. So many things going on today. Marriages crumbling under secret sins, selfishness, addiction, a culture worshiping at the altar of self. Live your truth, they say. Whole regions of the world that still the name of Jesus has never been spoken. What happens when the church, you, hides its light? People stumble and people continue in darkness. Jesus said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Let me ask you tonight, what's dimming your light? You don't light a candle. You don't light up a flashlight. And you don't cover it under something. You don't put a bucket over it. You don't put a basket over it. That's stupid. What's the whole use? A light is meant to shine. And Jesus is saying here, if you got a light, it's not meant to be covered. But folks, I'm afraid that some of the bushels are covering our lights at times. I want to mention a few bushels. Number one, the bushel of lust. I don't have to say too much about this. But our world is so filled with filth and lust and sexual immorality. It's in everywhere. You know, there's a big saying, sex sells. Boy, does it ever. You want to buy a new shoe or a basketball or a motorcycle, they're probably going to put some kind of, you know, sensual image on there. It's crazy. You need not go very far. I mean, even the kids' cartoons now are just so awful. And it's indoctrinating in lust. People are led by their lust. And Christians, if your walk with the Lord isn't right, you can get caught in that too. So many Christian men have fallen by the wayside because of lust. You know, some of the greatest men that we read of in the Bible, Solomon, David, one of my favorite guys. Man, these guys were on fire for the Lord. They loved the Lord. They were doing His work, warriors. Lust got a hold of them, crippled them, brought them to nothing, And lust is still being used today in the lives of many Christians, covering that light, causing you to be ineffective in shining. Number two, the bushel of idolatry. In Guyana, they have 3 million gods, over 3 million gods, probably that the Hindus will worship. And if you just drive down the road, you'll see all these big old statues and these weird-looking things, you know, that they worship, all the different gods. Some look like monkeys, some look like cows, some look like a blend of, it just, and you look at that and you think, wow, yeah, that's an idol, right? But really, an idol is anything that you put before Jesus Christ, anything that you're worshiping, anything that takes up your time in the place where Jesus Christ ought to be. You know, a lot of us, we've got one big idol here. Wow. Man, this thing is an idol. Oh boy. How many times does this take up the time that we otherwise have to be spent in our reading the Bible? How much time does this take up when we could be praying to Jesus Christ? How much time does this take up when we could be out there doing something productive with our lives? You know, the devil knows that one of your most valuable resources is your time. And he will do everything he can to waste your time away. The more he wastes your time, the more he's wasting away your life. What are you doing for Jesus Christ? Put away these phones, man. They're great. They're amazing. I got a phone here. I'm preaching off of these iPad thingies here. I got my notes. It's great. I'm like, yeah, this is awesome, you know. By the way, don't rely on these things. Sometimes they don't work. That happened to me one time. Lost all my notes. Had to memorize my, oh, did I know my? But listen, they're awesome tools, but they can become idols. Yes. We got to make sure that we keep Christ first in our lives and that idolatry is not taking over and causing us to not shine for Jesus. Thirdly, the bushel of spiritual coldness. You might say, well, brother, I'm not out of church. I'm not in rebellion. But you're cold. You've grown numb. One of the most dangerous things that a police officer can fall prey to is complacency. You see the same thing every day. You see the same people. Oh, same old Joe, same old traffic stop, same old debate. I know how this plays out. And they become complacent. They let their guard down. They start going through the motions. They burn out. A lot of us is like that. We come in, we hear the word, we amen, we do this, but we're just going through the motions. And over time, we start to grow cold. We start to grow numb. That night on patrol, folks, my flashlight did not stop working because it was defective. It did not stop working because it was broken. It stopped working because the coldness had crept in. You see, something I learned about these lithium batteries is that they're amazing, man. They're powerful. But when it gets really cold, and if they're exposed to that level of coldness, especially for a long time like I was that night, it zaps the power, it zaps the battery, and it zaps the light. Let me ask you tonight, are you shining for Jesus? Is there a bushel over your light? Has the cold crept in? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you would stand to your feet with me as I pray.